And the court will proceed to the sixth case, Findley v. Lenderman. Mr. Mattson.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning. Still.
Appreciate you taking the time to hear this. I'm Doug Mattson. I'm representing Officer Jonathan Lenderman in this matter. We are here today requesting reversal of the district court on the issue of qualified immunity. We'd ask for summary judgment, and the district court denied it on that part. Broadly speaking, we think the district court erred in three general ways. First, I think the district court construed Graham too narrowly in the factors it could consider when deciding what the legitimate government interest is. Second, we think that the district court defined the right at stake for Mr. Findley too broadly as being the right to be free of excessive force, which doesn't really put Officer Lenderman on notice of what behavior of his is unlawful. And thirdly, on the qualified immunity analysis, we don't think the district court held Mr. Findley to his burden to show analogous cases. On September 29, 2009, Officer Lenderman was confronted with a situation where he was in the Howie Findley kitchen, and he was attempting to secure evidence. It was a video camera that was sitting on the kitchen table. First he asked for it. He said, "I need this evidence." Mr. Findley said no. And as Officer Lenderman then tried the next step, tried reaching for the camera, Mr. Findley pulled it away from him. And then he changed his story a little bit. He said, "You can have the camera, but you can't have the video chip on this camera," which is, of course, where the evidence was. According to Mr. Findley's version of things, as Officer Lenderman's still reaching for this camera, Mr. Findley flinches and drops the video chip on the other side of the table. And so at this point, you have Officer Lenderman about a quarter of the way around the table from Mr. Findley, and the video chip 180 degrees. And so then Mr. Findley bends down and reaches for the chip. And at this point, the objective officer is confronted with the idea of what's acceptable here. Do I have to let him get to the evidence? I think the case law doesn't require, the Fourth Amendment doesn't require him to go unimpeded to the video chip. And the second question is, if I can use force to stop him, how much? And he knows that the Fourth Amendment allows him to use reasonable force. He also knows that the qualified immunity doctrine allows him to make mistakes. The qualified immunity doctrine is there to protect all but the incompetent and those who are clearly acting in an unlawful manner. If this officer knows of comparable cases, he might know of the Southern District language in Mason versus Hamilton, a relatively minor offense that allowed a tackle. This was a concert goer that was suspected of attending the concert with no ticket, and therefore trespassing, stealing the value of the concert. The judge in that case was speculating about what force might be allowed. And I think the actual force used in that case was a dog, but the district court judge said, well, he could have tackled the concert goer, even recognizing that landing on hard surfaces would be potentially injure a person.
How are we to conceptualize this case in the first instance? As a claim of excessive force in the making of an arrest, or a claim of excessive force in the confiscation of the evidence?
I think it's excessive force in the seizure of evidence, because I think the first concern of the officer here, the reason he needs to use force right now, is to stop him from getting to the evidence. At this point, he has probable cause to arrest him, but I don't think anything's going on in the context of arresting Mr. Findley that requires immediate action, what ups the stakes just a bit is you've got this SD video chip on the ground. You have a guy who's shown a clear reluctance to let the police have possession of this, heading for this video chip.
Right, right. No, I know the facts. He's not making an arrest when he tackles this guy.
It's all combined, but I think the use of force is best analyzed in the seizure of evidence.
Okay, so let's say he was just making an arrest. Then clearly there's a tribal issue of fact on whether this was excessive, right? The only thing that makes any difference here is that he's trying to get this. There's this tussle over the memory card.
I would say that's probably right, because if I understand your question, it would be instead of a video chip laying there, Officer Lenderman says, hey, I know you have some papers somewhere. I need you to produce them. And he says, no, you're never going to have these papers. We don't know where they are at this point. And he says, okay, you're under arrest for refusing. I don't think he can tackle them at that point.
Right. Okay, so it's that there was this struggle, at least not struggle, but there was this difference of opinion over who gets the memory card.
Exactly.
So what's his authority to seize the memory card?
Well, the district court entered summary judgment on this point, and so I think right now we have to take that as the law of the case. But the authority to seize the card is the fact that there's statements on there relative to an investigation. He's made statements about this is a family squabble. He's made statements about
right. So the video card contains some admissions of
right.
him. Right. It's not contraband. It's not a gun. It's not drugs. It's not
no, but it's
the
evidence.
Fruits of a crime. It's not.
It's evidence related to a crime, though, and I don't.
It has
think
evidentiary
it has to
value,
be,
but
right. And I think that's the test. I don't think it has to be a bad thing that's in there. I think it's proof of a crime, and I don't think the officer is required to. Allow to stand by and watch such evidence be destroyed.
Well, what is the evidence that it was about to be destroyed?
Well, I think the reasonable officer would say
construing the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. What is the evidence?
He has pulled the camera away. He has yanked the chip out. He has caused the chip to fall to the floor.
That's
he's
very literally. Construing the facts in his favor, it.
Well, these are all things that
it.
Happened. It's
he
not,
dropped it. Okay. We have to, I mean.
Okay.
Okay.
But I do think, I don't know that it's construed in favor of not destroying. I think it's what
had
a reasonable officer.
Had he threatened to destroy it? Is there any evidence that he threatened to destroy it?
No, I don't think that had been discussed.
Is there any evidence that there were the implements to bring about its destruction nearby?
I think so. It's a small chip on a floor. It can be stepped on.
Well, did he make a move as if to do that?
He's moving toward the chip. I mean, that's all
we
I
don't
can
know.
Say.
We so don't the, know. It's, the
it's happening
line.
Very fast.
Okay, we don't know. But,
and,
well, it's a factual question about whether the evidence construed in his favor suggests that the chip was in danger.
As perceived by a reasonable objective officer, I would just add that.
Didn't Lenderman tell Findlay, I'm going to take it, and that's when he seized it?
Correct.
Isn't that what the judge found below?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And we have some intent from evidence of
right, there's intent that he was meaning to keep it out of the officer's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could reserve the rest of my time
sure.
for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Masson. Mr. Weirich?
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, my name is Andy Weirich, and I represent the appellee, Jason Findlay. To answer the first question the Court asked, we believe the proper analysis is in terms of a seizure of evidence, not an arrest. As counsel said, Mr. Lenderman testified that his intent was not to arrest our client until after this tackle happened.
Well, did he testify he was going to do it after it happened or because it happened?
He said in his deposition he was not intending to arrest him until this dispute about
until
the camera happened.
Until the dispute. So then it's almost simultaneous. That is, Mr. Weirich, it isn't this happened, then reflection, I'm going to arrest him. I mean, for the purpose of viewing what this case is about.
There's no evidence suggesting the tackle was an attempt to effectuate an arrest. The argument being made, certainly on appeal, is that it was to preserve evidence. And as we look at the cases that are cited, none of which are binding on this court, none of them are Seventh Circuit opinions or Supreme Court. They're out-of-state, state law cases, or district court. All of them involved an immediate threat to destruction of evidence. The vast majority where a suspect had some type of contraband in their mouth and were chewing or threatening to swallow it. The Foxhall case was heroin in the mouth. The Lewis case, he was chewing on crack cocaine in his mouth. Here, Mr. Finley is sitting at the table. His grandmother's next to him. The camera had been on the table, and when he accidentally dropped the chip, it then fell underneath the washer. When he went for it, he didn't stand up and threaten to stamp on it, which may or may not have destroyed it. There's no evidence it was a flimsy chip. But there's no evidence he was doing that. He was simply reaching for it with his hand.
I'm not sure that any of that matters, because the cases recognize that force may be legitimately used to prevent the imminent destruction of evidence. And, you know, we're talking about things that are occurring like in seconds here.
Well, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record to suggest or allow a reasonable police officer to infer that the destruction of that tape was imminent. Obviously, Jason wanted the tape to exist. He created it. No one forced him to make that, so he intended it to exist. He didn't want to give it up.
Well, we don't know that either at that point. He may very well not have wanted to exist any longer.
There's nothing in the record to suggest that.
Mr. Weirich, let me make sure that I've got a fix on the facts. Does Linderman tell Finley he's going to confiscate the recorder?
Yes.
Okay. And subsequently, if not immediately, Lindley pulls it away and the chip falls out.
Correct.
Okay. So now Linderman, the reasonable officer, is Linderman a reasonable officer after informing Finley that he's going to confiscate it? There's an immediate reaction to pull it away, if not to have the chip fall away. Isn't it reasonable for him to consider I may lose what I just said I want to confiscate?
No, because there's nothing to indicate he was going to destroy it. Simply because he doesn't get it right away, none of the case law suggests that gives him the right to use force to get it right away.
Why can't Finley pull it away then? If he says, I'm going to confiscate it, that's the announcement from the officer. Finley pulls it away. What should Linderman think of that action by Finderly, of Finley? Excuse me.
Certainly he can infer that.
Delay the confiscation? I mean,
continue to attempt to get it, but not use force. There is no reason to use force.
But for qualified immunity purposes, we just evaluate whether, you know, he made a reasonable mistake of fact under these circumstances about the imminent destruction of the chip.
If there was evidence which could suggest to a reasonable police officer he was about to destroy it, if he stood up and was threatening to stamp on it, something like that, that may justify it.
That's the ultimate question. The qualified immunity question is whether he was objectively reasonable, even if he made a mistake about the facts at hand. You know, you're posing the end game question about whether the force was, in fact, excessive under the circumstances. But
well, I think in
did he just misread the facts? I mean, qualified immunity covers that, right?
Only if it's a reasonable mistake. And this mistake was not reasonable.
Okay, so your position is there's just not anything to support that.
Correct.
As an objective matter.
In some excessive force cases, the line between whether there's a violation of qualified immunity is not, there's not a big difference. And this was one of those cases. Graham v. Connor has been around since 1989. It's a three-prong test. Looking at those three prongs, it's clear the force was not appropriate. And the exceptions referred to aren't justified because there is no immediate threat.
Larry, do we have anything from the record to indicate the severity of, any injury here?
There were none.
He had to go to the hospital. The record shows that. He was in pain, didn't have any broken bones, but it was sufficient to force him to go to the hospital.
Well, but there were no signs of injury when Finley's physician examined him two days later.
If there was no need for force, the severity of the actual injury is not the question. It's the severity of the force used, not the actual outcome.
Right, but the man was not injured.
He believed so. He thought he needed to go to the hospital. He certainly was in pain.
Well, 2 days later.
Hurt but not injured.
Pardon me?
Hurt but not injured.
Not severely injured. Based on the foregoing, we would request that this court affirm the decision of the district court denying summary judgment as to the excessive force count. Thank you.
And Mr. Masson?
Just to respond briefly on the medical checkup, I think the doctor noted that it was on advice of counsel that he went, and the doctor didn't find any objective injuries, just some reports of sensitivity. And I just say the plaintiff has not met his burden to cite analogous cases showing that Lenderman acted unlawfully. They mentioned Graham versus Connor, which does provide the framework, but Graham doesn't even show whether Graham was much force. I guess I didn't have as much time as I thought. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Madison, and thank you, Mr. Weirich. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.